Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Paul Tonko, we've heard so much about weather-related incidents. We had Hurricane Sandy. We had one of the worst winters I can remember ever last year. Are we just putting our heads in the sand?
Well, and I would add to those scenarios the torrential downpours that we have seen from Midwest to the East. And it, apparently, for some, the weather can't speak to them. It seems as though just a judgment here or an assessment by the naked eye tells us that there are very abnormal patterns in our weather that have been very destructive. Irene and Lee impacted the 20th congressional district that I represent, and we're still recovering.
And we know what's going to happen again.
Yeah. Well, and I've talked to my colleagues on the West Coast, and they are sorely in need of rain. You know, we've had requests made by many of the Southwest delegations, Southwestern states delegations, for wildfires that are impacting them. They need resources to fight these things. So I lead an effort. I'm a co-chair of SEEK in the House, which is a Sustainable Energy and Environment Coalition. And we have been focusing on climate change. We just met with the Parks Service, which ironically is impacted by climate change.
Sure.
They have seen it with documentation that they make, with plant life, with wildlife, with the needs to recover. Their coastal zones where they have parks are being eroded. And they're trying to figure out as a classroom that they are for millions of people every year, here is a way not only to educate us about climate change, but then to retrofit our parks to the impacts that are ongoing with climate change.
So how strong are the deniers in Congress?
Very strong. They will reject any form of science and facts. 97% or so of the science community agrees that there is a global warming impact. There's a climate change issue that should cause our concern because of carbon emission. And more deadly than that carbon emission is methane emission. And we need to take and move on this. You know, we had talked on a previous show about Bakken crude oil and the shipment by unacceptable rail cars. You know, we can push for safety. We can work on all sorts of elements that will, you know, maintain the tracks and train the workers, the frontline workers, the emergency response teams and the healthcare workers. But ultimately, we're still shipping crude oil. And we have got to, I think, invest in a system of alternative technologies that will provide alternative energy, renewables, make energy efficiency our fuel of choice, and put together a policy initiative that weans us off this gluttonous dependency on fossil fuels. And the president has offered an initiative that is very strong, that aims to reduce carbon emissions by 30%, that really works hard at changing our energy consumer behavior, and to look at all sectors of the energy economy, not just our utility infrastructure, but looking also at our transportation sector, which is absolutely important. So again, we need to put this into a bigger framework that doesn't just look singularly at an incidence of response or shipment of oil, but look at energy policy, environmental policy, economic recovery policy. All of that needs to be intermingled so that we're doing the very best thing across all of these disciplines of policy that need to be developed. And I think we can.
Paul Tonko, switching to something else now, there is a constitutional amendment on campaign spending, I think motivated, you know, pretty well by some of the Supreme Court decisions like Citizens United. It doesn't really have much of a chance, does it?
Well, there are forces that have come to Congress based on deep pockets. And so I think in our House specifically,
the Republican dominated House.
Yeah, it's, you know, we have a Republican majority that has grown that majority with the help of Tea Party element that has arrived pretty much with Deep Pocket support. The McCutcheon versus FEC and the Citizens United effort provided for corporate and union entities to give this it whatever measure they decide is fair with no limitations. And then a follow-up case gave individuals the opportunity to donate as much as they choose. Now, these efforts are very troublesome because the government of the many can easily become the government of the money. And the money impact right now in politics is making it very difficult for people of modest means to run for election because the mountain of cash that is set up against them with these court cases, Supreme Court cases, which, by the way, were decided with a 5-4 outcome. Very clever construct of the Supreme Court. But these 5-4 decisions are, I think, weakening our democracy with this approach of the sky's the limit for powerful forces. And, you know, if a deep pocket source is going to fund your campaign for Congress, that's only the beginning of the story, because when you arrive and claim your seat in the House, then there's an agenda that they're going to want you to respond to.
There's a bill to be paid.
Right. There's a bill to be paid. So then you get the special interest perspective on these issues, and you don't get the tax reform you require. You don't get the investments in a domestic agenda. My gosh, we were fighting against a $40 billion cut to hunger programs. Now, you're not going to get this crowd to stand. In fact, they were spouting on the floor, if you want to eat, get a job. Well, tragically, many people who qualify for the program are working not one job, but two. So you don't get that sensitivity and that connectedness that is so important when you have diversity within the House. And that diversity, including economic diversity, is absolutely essential to quality government.
On another subject, how come Albany was ruled out for housing the undocumented children who have come over the...
You know, the Health and Human Services, HHS, is that group that's in charge of locating the shelters for children. I don't know their specifics. I do know that they're very active around the country as we speak to find these appropriate shelters. There may have been some cost factor that drove them or outcome that needed to be improved that would have been too costly. I don't know the reasons. I do know that they have ruled out that Albany location. But, you know, the whole tragedy of having these children escaping horrific danger and threats to their lives. They're threatened by human trafficking. You know, these children, very young in age, being pushed out of their homes, being sent to shelter, is a response that we're trying to do very deliberately and very effectively. And it also highlights, I think, the need, Alan, to have strong, effective immigration reform. And we also need to find out the causes of the unrest, the political unrest in these Central American countries that are, you know, subjecting their children to such horrific violence and to such measures like human trafficking. So we need to investigate as to what is causing this and help these nations with that response.
Well, Tonko, always wonderful to see you here. You always get to sit down. I can look you in the eye, which can't always do over the phone. It's great to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to join you and your wonderful listeners.